In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was always an interesting phenomena that happened to me when I was the director of sacred liturgy at the Pontifical College Josephinum in Columbus, Ohio. As one of my many duties, I was responsible for the four chapels that made up the campus, the main chapel dedicated to St. Trebius, one dedicated to St. Joseph, another dedicated to St. Pius IX, and the last dedicated to St. Rose of Lima. Throughout the week, I would go around to each of the chapels to make sure they had the practical things that were needed for the celebration of the sacred mysteries, purificators and hosts and wine and things of that nature. And every once in a while, I would stop and I would actually sit in the chapel that I was visiting at that moment, and I would offer some prayers. And I always find myself struck by the fact that there was always this great sense of peace that overcame me, being in the presence of God. Not just simply fulfilling my obligations or duties, not just simply executing the things of my office, but reminding myself by remaining there in prayer that all of this was done in order to give fitting glory and praise to God. Everything about the seminary existed to raise up men who would eventually become priests, who would lead others into giving voice of praise to God, being able to sanctify themselves and hopefully cooperate with grace in order to go to heaven. I would then dedicate or rededicate myself to then making it a regular occurrence to each day spend more and more time in the chapel, or a chapel. I had four, after all, from which to choose. But as inevitably would happen, the busyness of life, the busyness of the seminary would intervene, and I would only find myself in the chapel at those appropriate and appointed times for the praying of the divine office and for the celebration of Holy Mass. I did pray, oftentimes hurriedly, most of the time in my room, to make sure that my duties and my obligations were done, but it always would become abundantly clear, and even more so when I would stop and pray in the chapel, that I needed to be in the presence of God. To say that God is good is an understatement. We know that God is good, goodness itself, the perfection of goodness. But we also know that when we speak about God being good and the peace that comes from his sacred heart, a manifestation of that goodness that he provides to us, we must be aware of the fact that then we must be convicted in accepting the goodness that has been given to us. It's not something theoretical, this goodness of God. It is real and true. And God provides peace to us when we open ourselves up to him and make ourselves available to the graces that he bestows upon us. The simple fact, and I believe this was happening to me each time I was in the chapel, I was reminded yet again of the reality of what it is that I believed. This is reality. This is real and true. Not the make-believe that goes on in the world around us. All those things that we do that oftentimes overshadow us. We expend our energy with the things of men as if those are the things that matter, when in truth this is the only thing that matters. And actually, because this is the only thing that matters, it is here that we must first be with God, in peace with God, in order to respond to the world that swirls around us. The question that I would often ask myself, well, why do I persist? And persist I did, and even now I do, to try to make sense of all of these things by myself, to do this by myself, to rely upon my own strength, my own industry, my own native talents. I am almost 60 years old, and I still have not learned a lesson that was taught to me, not when I was 18 or 21, a lesson that was taught to me when I was much younger by a mother who believed in God, who trusted in him, and she tried to instill that trust and that confidence in her children. And again and again and again, I try to do things by myself. And the beautiful thing about God is he will let me go for a time. He will give me the graces that I need for a moment, and then I crash and burn. Whether it be my weakness and my sins, whether it be a sense of lethargy, a lack of prayer and inattentiveness to prayer, a certain aseidia sets into the manner in which I live my life and I execute my duties, doing them, yes, but doing them begrudgingly with a degree of resentment, barely fulfilling the obligations that have been placed upon me. And only returning to the sacrament of penance do I understand what it is that I have missed and what it is that I have done. And I resolve again as part of my act of contrition. I will not be in this position again. I will not do this again. And then a week later, There I am, again, in confession, asking God to forgive me because I tried to do these things by myself. Sometimes the distance between the confessional and my car becomes an occasion of sin where I can't even for 5 minutes hold on to the graces that God has bestowed upon me and allow the peace of God to rest in my heart. And then we come to our gospel, where the Lord, who has constantly told us from the moment of creation, and then the Lord himself, the manifestation of the Father's love in the flesh, and then eventually the gift of the Spirit, that we should only and always trust in him, we are presented with the widow of Nain and the raising of her son from death to new life. This happens infrequently in Scripture. Only 3 times before the Lord himself actually conquers death by rising once for all to give us this new and abundant life that he desires that we have. And reading this sacred scripture, both in preparation and now in proclamation, it is clear the power of God and God's desire to care for us. God cares for us not only then in body as he does for this man, raising him to life, restoring him to his mother so that she herself may have some degree of solidity and stability in her own life, but it is also a cause for us to trust in what the Lord does for us in our spiritual lives. And so the question that you must ask yourself, and this is not a rhetorical question, why do you persist in always looking for everything else but God to be the one who answers your prayers when we have a God who not only cares for us in body and spirit, but he has conquered death? The very thing that we introduced into the human condition, he himself has conquered that once and for all. And while we may not be walking around seeing people being raised to new life, he has given us the miracle of himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most holy Eucharist to be ever present to us and to remind us yet again that he is always here with us, desiring to care for us. And he will give us all that we need, not what we want, but all that we need. And truly, brothers and sisters, when we do this, there is peace. I always hate to be self-referential, but the last 6 weeks, maybe 5 weeks, I've just been really giddy. Because every time I look out at my congregation, it continues to grow. There are more people that I do not know, more faces that are new to me. And the faces that I see are faces of peace and a desire to be here, making the sacrifices in order that you can indeed be here. And I think about all the things that have stood in our way and all those things that will continue to stand in our way. I don't know what they are, so this is not foretelling a future that has come to us, but rather the reality is Satan is prowling about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And we are always going to be the first ones that he seeks to attack. Not because we are better than others, but because we indeed are part of something that is better than anything else. The testament to that is the presence and growth of what God has bestowed upon us. But even that, as giddy as it makes me, and oftentimes in my pride I boast to my brother priests all the things that have transpired in such a very short time, as if somehow they were all part of my industry and ministry, instead of actually coming from God himself, from whence they truly come. Even this, at times, makes me believe that it is about me and only me. And if I could just craft the right world with the right things in the right place, then everything will be perfect. Somehow God is there on the periphery, but not really at the heart of what actually is transpiring. The simple fact is this. Our growth as a community, and I think it will continue to do so, comes precisely from the fact that all of us bear in mind that what binds and holds us together is not that we socialize well, not that we know each other well, not that we know how to have a good time, although we do know all of those things. The first, last, and always, what is in our hearts, in our lives, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the holy sacrifice of the Mass that binds and holds us all together. We participate in something on a daily basis for some, on a weekly basis for all of us, that again and again reminds us that God is at the center. God is the one with the power. And with that power, he brings us peace and joy and confidence. And whatever it is that we must confront, especially and including death itself, God will conquer for us as long as we remain with him. So stop trying to do this by yourself. Stop trying to make it or go your own way. God has given you everything you need, examples and concrete, tangible realities that you can hold fast to in order to secure your fidelity, trusting that not only in His Word as it is in sacred Scripture, but the living Word of God whom many of us are about to receive. Our Gospel concludes by reminding us that those who were present at this raising of the young man from death to life were seized with fear. A great prophet indeed, they said, has risen among us. But more importantly, God has visited His people. And there it is. God continues to visit us. And because God has chosen to do that, you, my brothers and sisters, must live lives and act accordingly. Lives that make manifest that indeed God is with us in all those times that are difficult, bringing us peace and joy in Him and in Him alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.